Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Notice this last phrase. But bring them up. Notice it doesn't say put them down. It says bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us to help the children. Lord, what a responsibility we have as parents. What a responsibility we have as a church, blessed with the number of children that you've blessed us with. I pray, Lord, that this would be an individual effort, of course, that sacred unit called the family. I pray that mamas would listen this morning and rededicate their hearts to bringing up their children, that fathers would hear this and let you touch their hearts concerning nurturing and admonition. I pray, Lord, that we as a church and every single one of us that interact on any level with the children, Lord, we'd be challenged with this great responsibility and we would seek your help. And Lord, we want to pray for our children. There's a generation, Lord, that's being born into a society that's upside down. So many ways, it's everything but what it ought to be. And Lord, our job certainly becomes that much more important then, that we help these young people to grow up loving you and knowing you. So I pray that you would, Lord, help us this morning through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I, this morning, got on the website, sort of the Lord website. I had been searching for a little brief biography of a man by the name of Evangelist Bill Rice. I am talking about Bill and Kathy Rice. Brother Bill Rice is John R. Rice's brother. They also had another brother by the name of Joe Rice that was an evangelist. Can you imagine? John R. Rice, Bill Rice, Joe Rice, all evangelists. And God used each of those boys from the same family in a remarkable way. Bill Rice and his wife Kathy, God gave them a little baby girl who was then struck with meningitis. And as a result, she lost her hearing and became deaf. Many of you have heard and you're familiar with the Bill Rice Ranch down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That ranch was started many years ago by Bill and Kathy Rice as a ranch to minister to the deaf. Now, as it grew, it began to expand and they began to have regular camp weeks for hearing. But its purpose in the beginnings and what it still does to this day is minister to the deaf. I had the opportunity to hear Bill Rice preach just a few times. He was an amazing preacher. How many of you heard Bill Rice preach? I'm talking about in person. You had a chance to hear him preach. Would you raise your hand high? He was an amazing preacher. He was known as the cowboy preacher. And he loved horses and he loved the ranch life, the cowboy lifestyle. He had a large ranch down there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, part of which he converted then into the camp. But God used him in an unusual way. If you ever heard him preached, I talked last Wednesday night about preachers and the importance of us putting the jelly on the bottom shelf. Well, Evangelist Bill Rice was blessed in a unique way with the ability to take complex scriptural principles and just putting it down there where all of us could understand it and get it. I could list off, if we had the time, several messages that I think he became famous for. But the one that sticks out in my mind, and the one that I think probably helped me more as a young parent, was a sermon entitled Love 'em, Learn 'em, and Lick 'em. Now, I don't remember the specifics of the message, but I don't think I'll ever forget the outline or the title of it. Love them, learn them, and lick them. Now, I'd be a fool to try to preach Bill Rice's sermon, but I am going to borrow his outline this morning. Parents, that formula still works in 2009. I don't really care much what the modern day psychologist says. We need to decide that we're going to get back to raising our children according to the principles of God's Word. And so I want to talk to you as parents. I want to talk to our church, but specifically to parents. I want to be able to just hit some points that we need to hear. I guess we know, but we need to be reminded of. We've been given a great responsibility as parents. When God blesses you with a child, He's given you one of the greatest, if not the greatest, blessing outside of salvation that you can receive. And I believe that if we as Christians would just get to the Word of God and say we're going to love like the Bible says, we're going to teach and train like the Bible tells us to do, and we're going to discipline like the Bible tells us to do, it is possible in this generation, in 2009, to raise some good, godly children for the Lord. I want to start out with what I think ought to be number one. Parents, love your children. Love them. Love them. Your children, more than anything else, need love from you. Now, Brother Jerry, what's wrong with this generation of young people? Listen, we deal with a lot of troubled kids, a lot of troubled teenagers. More times than not, the thing that is missing, are you listening, from their life is parental love. Way more important than parental discipline. Way more important even than parental training and teaching. What they need more than anything else, number one, we'll get to these other ones, but number one, children need to be loved by their parents. They need to know that their parents love them. I won't go into detail, but yesterday I was knocking on doors over in Bloomfield visiting for our chapel ministry, and I ran into a lady. And she was a grandmother age lady. And she had actually taken on the responsibility. She had a twin sister. And her twin sister had a grandchild, a little boy, that they had now placed in her custody. She just had him for a couple months, and she stepped out on the porch and she said, "Preacher, I know you don't know me, but let me tell you about the situation that I have here." And she began to open her heart. This boy was raised in an abusive, dysfunctional situation. Most of the time, his real parents weren't in his life. Most of the time, he was being reared by people that didn't love him. And by the time they have him now, and here you look at this little boy, and I got to go over and meet him and shake his hand, and I got to get down on my knees and talk to him a little bit and tell him that God loved him. Tried to get him and his grandma to come to the church over there in Bloomfield. But this boy has a bushel, and I won't go into specifics, but he's already in his life at I'm going to guess he was 7 or 8 years of age. He's already got a bushel basket full of problems. And I looked in that little kid's eyes, and I thought to myself, there's nothing wrong with this boy that God and God's love couldn't fix. Now, parents, let's love our children. Children need love, but children just don't need love. They need a supernatural love. Let me remind you that there's a natural love and there's a supernatural love. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. But notice the first fruit that's produced by the Spirit of God when He comes into our life and begins to control us is love. Children need love, not just a natural love, but a supernatural love, a God love. Say, Brother Jerry, what is love? You know, we have, in this generation, so perverted Bible words that now when you begin to talk about subjects like love, I wonder if the young people even really understand what it is. I mean, Hollywood's perverted the idea. There's so many unspeakable things that are going on in society and even in families and family units. But let me say this about love. Love is clearly defined in the Scriptures. And Brother Jerry, I love my children. Well, let's check on that. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This chapter uses the word charity for love. Charity for the word agape or God love. This is what the Bible says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. Now here's a summarization of that. Love, folks, God love, supernatural love, is patient, it's kind, it's without jealousy, it's humble, it's appropriate, it's selfless, it's level-headed, it's positive, it's happy, it's strong, it's faithful, it's built for the long haul, and it never gives up. If you're a child and you're in a home where you have a mom and dad that gives you on a regular basis, I didn't say they were perfect. By the way, nobody has perfect parents. But on a regular basis, they display that kind of love towards you. You are a blessed, blessed child. Children need supernatural love. Children, can I say this? Parents need love mentored before them. They need to see love. Let me make a statement here. The greatest gift you can give your children is a mom and dad who are genuinely, scripturally, and madly in love with each other. There's a security that comes with that. There's a security in a child that sees love mentored in front of them. And so, can I promote a concept that needs to be actively a part of every home? And this is biblical. Smooching. It's a Bible word, smooching, I think. Is that a Bible word? It's a Greek word. Greek word, smooching. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about inappropriate things. But you know what? It's a blessing for a child. Now they're not going to act like it's a blessing. I mean, they're going to walk in the kitchen, there's mom and dad kissing each other, and they're going to go, oh, gross! Stop, you guys! Come on! I'm going to lose my appetite! That's probably how they're going to react. But I'm going to tell you this. Something down in their heart becomes right when they see that. You know, I got thinking about this. I want the children of the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to grow up looking at a marriage in their home and saying, I hope one day God will let me have a marriage like that. Are you listening? Children need love. They need you to love them, and they need love to be mentored before them, and they need to know and feel that their parents love them. You all know these things, but let's hit some reminders. How do they know that, Brother Jerry? Through words. Say, oh, Brother Jerry, we're just not one of those affectionate, mushy kind of families. Well, you know, we're going to have an invitation in a minute. It's okay. Well, we just don't say, you know, we don't. Why don't you say it? Let me ask you a question. Are you going to tell me that in this book of words that you can't find any place where God tells you that He loves you? I mean, do you frantically flip back and forth and search the pages and say, somewhere in here, at least one time, God surely is going to say that He loves you? You don't have to look very hard. You don't have to look very far. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This entire book is a love letter to His children. And a child shouldn't have to search back through his upbringing and say, surely there was one time somewhere where my mom or my dad said the words. I like it. I hear it around here. I hear teenagers. I'm going to tell you. You could say, well, Brother Jerry, that's not the... Well, you know, it's not we're not supposed to be like the world. The world, well, it's not the way it is nowadays. Listen, I like it when I see a teenage girl go up to her mom and dad, and she's getting ready to take off with some friends, and she kisses them on the cheek and says, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's everything right with that. I love it when I hear parents that look at their children and tell them, I love you. So how do they know we love them? Through words. Number two, let me say this. And again, well, I hate that we live in this perverted generation. But you know, there's something very, very important, parents, to your young people and your children having the proper parental touching and hugging and kissing. I'm talking about appropriate. I'm talking about right. You know, folks, you talk to them. You talk to them. And I'm going to be real careful here, but you talk to people that have gotten on an airplane, flown overseas, gone to an orphanage, picked up a child that was 2, 3, 4 years old, that were raised in these orphanages, little baby factories, not enough people, bless their heart for what they do, but not enough people to hold those children and cradle those children and rock those children and love those children. Not enough people to do that. And they bring those children, they bring them back in, and you know what? If a child doesn't get that on a regular basis from the time they're born all the way through their growing up in their first couple years, there's something that sometimes they have to spend a lifetime trying to fix. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Mamas, I'm going to become real unpopular here. But your little child needs you. Not a daycare worker. They need you. They need mama's love. They need mama's hugs. When they fall and scrape their knee, they need mama available that they can run to. They need it. You say, well, Brother Jerry, my child sometimes falls and they're not really all that hurt. And yet they still want a hug. They still want love. And as a parent, what am I to do about that? You're supposed to send them to their grandparents. You say, well, I don't want to spoil them. I know, that's fine. That's our job. We'll be more than glad to do that. So, you know, can I just say this? I don't think I've ever seen anybody mess up by loving their kids too much. Well, you know where that parent went wrong? He just loved that child too much. I don't think that's possible. I think these children need it. They need the words. They need the touch. They need your time. It's been said by a lot of preachers, but children spell love, T-I-M-E. So number one, love them. Can I just quickly give you this point? Learn them. Learn them. This is Bill Rice's formula for child rearing. Learn them. Children need instructed in the ways of the Lord. They need verbal instruction. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, and a scorner heareth not the rebuke. Take the time to teach your children. Let me say to the children that's in this room, young people, are you open to your parents' instruction, or are you resistant to your parents' instruction? A lot of times, and I've heard this, and let me just fix something. I'm not mad at you, but let me fix something. There's some of you young people that when your mom or dad sets you down and tries to teach you something, and I've even heard young people say this, well, dad started lecturing me about this, mom started lecturing me, you know, and every single time a parent tries to transfer something they know to you, you kind of throw up a defense and begin to roll your eyes and act like you're in agony and pain. If you've got a parent that's trying to teach you something, the Bible says that you're wise if you sit up, open your ears up, and listen to what they're trying to teach you. But let me say this to parents. It's our responsibility to provide verbal instruction to our young people. Brother Jerry, how do you learn a child up? How do you teach a child the things that they need to know? Well, you use verbal instruction and you use practical training. I'm not going to try in this brief few minutes to teach a child rearing course, but both is needed. Both are needed. It's one thing to tell a child what to do. It's another thing to put their hands to it and let them learn how to do it under your tutelage. Are you listening? Hands-on training. Children learn some by hearing, but mostly by doing. Let me give you an illustration. You say, maybe you're a mother here and you say, I need to teach my daughter. And by the way, I believe this is one of the most important things that you can do. Teach my daughter to bake chocolate chip cookies. Absolutely. I mean, come on now. You can mess up in a lot of areas, ladies, but if you have not passed that on, you've well nigh failed as a mother. I'm sorry. Chocolate chip cookies. Now, you can say to, you know, your 10 or 11-year-old girl or whatever, and set her down at the table and say, now, I want you to listen to me because I'm going to tell you how to bake cookies. And you can hand her a little card, and it's got the rest of the instructions, and you can have one, and you can verbally teach her how to make cookies. And then you can turn around and say, okay, now get in there and do it. You know what she'll say? Well, I don't know how. I don't know how. Well, I just told you how. What's wrong with you? And by the way, there's a lot of parents that are making that mistake. God doesn't say just teach them. It says to train them. Train up a child in the way they should go. So you do the verbal instruction. But the honest truth is, after you get done telling them, they still don't know how until they do it under your supervision. So then you walk into the kitchen and you say, now, we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. And then together you make cookies, and together you make cookies, and together you make cookies, together you make cookies, and then you get to that wonderful point in time in your life when you can sit in your recliner and say to one of your daughters, go make me some chocolate chip cookie. And they'll jump up and they'll know how to do it. You know why? Because you didn't just teach them, you trained them. I've said this, but you can take your teenage boy, you can sit down and say, listen, one of these days you could be with your mom somewhere out and have a flat tire and I won't be there, and so you need to know how to change a tire. Now, sit down here at the table and I'll tell you how to do it. You could verbalize it and tell them the steps, and then you could say, okay, now I've taught you how to do it. I want you to go out and do it. And you know what your son's going to say? Well, I don't know how, Dad. And then you want to flip your wig. Well, you only did half your job, Dad. I mean, they heard you, but that doesn't equate to doing it. They don't know. So you teach them, you verbally teach them, then you walk out there, you go to the car, you reach in your pocket, you throw them the car keys and say, okay, I want you to change the tire. And they're going to look at you and say, no, don't worry. We'll walk through it. Step number one, open the trunk. They're going to say, how? Hey, you laugh, but there's been some cars that I couldn't figure out how to get the trunk open on. Honestly, won't we take for granted? Listen, one of the biggest mistakes, if I'm not careful, I'll make in dealing with young people is trying to treat them as if they have a 47-year-old brain just because I do. 47 years of life experience just because I do. Listen, I didn't know that much at their age either. Somebody had to patiently teach me. Somebody had to patiently train me. Folks, listen to me. I know you're busy and I know life is demanding and I know it takes a lot of hours to work just to put food on the table, but we cannot neglect the teaching and training of our young people. Let me get to the last one. I want to spend a little time on this. Love them, learn them, and lick them. Now, that's an old-fashioned term. I'm making some of you nervous. I've got some teenagers up here saying, you lick your kids? Yeah. Said, if my dad hears this message and goes home and tries this, I'm leaving home! Noah, when we were growing up, when we got a spanking, we used to call it a licking. I don't know why, but we did. We got a licking. Let me share something. Everybody look up here. And I want you to relax a minute. I want to just clear the air on something. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I got a Bible that says that there are times in the child-rearing process where your child is going to need an old-fashioned spanking. There's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing immoral about it. There's nothing abusive about it if it's done properly. I'm not for parents physically abusing their children, but spanking is not physical abuse. It's a Bible command. It's a Bible command. Now, I think that our correction ought to be purposeful. Let me help some of you by giving you just quickly some things to think about. The Bible says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." We've got the proof of an entire generation that for the most part have been talked out of disciplining their children. And we've got a bunch of hellions running around that are rebellious. The schools are full of them. Society's full of them. The jails are full of them. But I want to remind us as parents that the Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom. Brother Jerry, as I love my children and as I teach my children, what am I going to discover? Well, listen to me. You're going to discover that in the process of teaching and training your children, you will begin to see something in them that needs to be removed. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, that's what the Bible says. That's not what Oprah says. Now, are you a follower of Oprah? Are you a disciple of Oprah? Or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you listening to me? Aren't you glad that when God corrects you, He always starts with reproof and not the rod? Can I say this to our parents? A spanking is a last option, not a first choice. Have you ever got a little out of whack with God and you got a little rebellious, got a little disobedient? And it seems like God uses His word either during your morning devotions or you come to a church service and God uses His word to warn you, to reprove you. Parents, we ought to always start with verbal reproof. Are you listening to me? We ought to always start with verbal reproof. A child that learns to respond to verbal reproof has been corrected. They've been corrected. Hey, you say, "Brother Jerry, man, I don't like spankings." Well, when your mom and dad tell you to stop doing something or tell you to do something and you don't do it and they verbally reprove you and warn you, if you don't want a spanking, could I encourage you to just learn to obey your parents? That's why we read a minute ago. Boy, get this thought. This is awesome. I have studied the Bible front to back. I can only find one command anywhere in the Bible to children. If you can think of another one, come show it to me and I'll learn something. But I can only find one direct command in the Bible to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'll tie in honoring. I guess you could separate those two, but I'll tie in honoring with that. That's it. Brother Jerry, what's the most important thing I can teach my child? To obey. That's it. That's it. That's the assignment. Brother Jerry, as a young person, what's the most important thing that I can do at my age? In my home, you learn to obey. You learn to obey, you see. And if you don't obey, parents, what we ought to do is reprove them. Correct them verbally. But if they, boy, I'll tell you what. Me and Cheryl went out to eat the other night. Sitting in a restaurant. Here comes a mom and dad, a grandma and grandpa, and a small pint-sized Charles Manson. I'm eating my food trying to contain myself. I finally leaned over to my wife and I said, I just need to go over there and give that boy a good hard spanking. And I think God's telling me to do it. Now stop that. I'm not kidding. One, two, three, four, five, six. Help us, Jesus. My dad would count, but he was counting the wax. One! Two! All right, listen to me. You know what? A mom and dad who teach their young people to obey, when they don't obey, reprove them verbally. When that doesn't work, spank them is doing exactly what the Bible says that they're supposed to do. Exactly. Exactly. Now, foolishness. Think about this. Foolishness, the Bible says, is driven from a child by the rod of correction. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, can I just throw something out and I want you to mull it over? I don't need you to answer. I just need you to think about it. Well, I've never spanked my child. I don't believe in spanking. Okay? Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. So if you haven't used the rod of correction, could I suggest something to you? Something's still bound in the heart of your child. You know what it's called? Foolishness. You know what foolishness is? I'll give you a Bible definition of foolishness. Foolishness is when we know and understand a direct... Are you looking up here? Know and understand a direct command from the Lord. We know and understand a direct command from the Lord. Who do you need? Okay. All right. We know... Look right up here. Boy, I tell you what. Hello. Discipline yourself, folks. Preaching is going on, amen. I'm amused by some of you. We know and understand a direct command from the Lord or from an authority. And you know what? We just decide we're not going to do it. We sang the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." And then we sung the song, "The foolish man built his house upon the sand." Go to that little parable. Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and do them, I'll liken him unto a wise man. He that heareth my words and doeth them..." So listen, parents, I'm not talking about you telling your child to do something that they haven't yet been taught how to do. Sometimes we want them to do something, but we've not taught, we've not trained, and then when they don't do it or don't do it right, we want to spank them. Listen, spank yourself. But if you've been taught and trained how to do something, and they know how to do it, and then you tell them to do it, and they blatantly, rebelliously refuse to, that is foolishness. That needs to be driven from them. Reprove it. If they still balk, spank them. Spank them. Let me define spanking. God created every single child's anatomy in such a way that they have a well-padded place on their body where no danger of bones being broken. There's no danger of bones being broken, but when you apply quick striking movements to it, it causes an extreme amount of pain and discomfort. They're pretty good. You know where that's at? All right, then I'm going to leave it alone. Amen. Amen. I'm not for it. You don't slap your kids in the face. You don't slap them in the mouth. You don't punch them. You do it right. You do it right. And you do it for the right reason. Now listen. I believe that a spanking is a spiritual lesson that allows a child to understand the character of God. Well, I don't believe in spanking. Well, you know what you're doing? You're mentoring before them the wrong image of a father. Because one of these days, they're going to get outside of the home, and they're going to treat their Heavenly Father, or think they can treat their Heavenly Father, like they've treated you. Can I say this? God's not shy about chastening us. He's a good father. He'll chasten us. He'll chasten them. Spanking, listen, folks, ought to be motivated by love. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. If you don't love your children, if you miss point number one and point number two, but you're real good at point number three, that spanking is not going to help them, it's going to hurt them more. Don't miss what I'm going to say here. A spanking is only effective when you have your child's heart. My girls didn't cry nearly as much from the pain of a spanking as they did from the fact that they knew they had disappointed their mom and their dad. So you love them kids and love them kids and love them kids and love them kids and teach them kids and train them kids and teach them kids and train them kids. But when foolishness comes out and rebellion shows its ugly head, you reprove, but if that doesn't work, you spank. And you know what? That is the Bible. That's what the Word of God says. It should be motivated by love. Let me give you one more thought. Spanking should be done early. The Bible says, he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means early. That's what it means. It should be done early. The word betimes is derived from the word dawn, as in the rising of the sun. It goes on to explain the meaning of the word. To be early at any task with the implication of earnestness, to search for with painstaking. Let me give you a little help, because we've got a lot of young couples up here and you've got toddlers that are growing up. And let me say this. For every ounce of foolishness you remove from a young child, it's going to be a ton of rebellion that you don't have to deal with during their teenage years. And for every ounce of foolishness you ignore or make excuses for in their young life, it's a ton of rebellion that you're going to have to deal with later on. That's the way it is. You say, Brother Jerry, it's not popular nowadays. It's still popular with God. Matter of fact, here's the command. Withhold not correction from the child, Proverbs 23:13. You know, if a spanking is deserved, it should not be withheld. Perhaps the biggest mistake we make is that we're not consistent in our discipline. I believe that's why we must clearly define the process: teach, train, reward when they do it right, reprove when they do it wrong, spank when rebellion comes. If they understand the pattern and you're consistent at it, you know what? Pretty soon they know the parameters. They're trained to behave in such a way that's pleasing to God. It's crazy. It's crazy what I'm seeing in restaurants. It's crazy what I'm seeing in stores. There's no reason in the world that you ought not to be able to take care. I'm not talking about babies. I'm not talking about before. But there's no reason in the world that a Christian family ought not to be able to go to a restaurant and have their kids sit around the table and sit there and behave themselves and not act like a bunch of hooligans the whole time they're there. There's no reason for that not to happen. No reason for it. What we've decided is that we've got a better plan than God. No, you don't. We need to get back to doing what God's commanded us to do. Brother Jerry, I just can't stand to see him cry. Well, you know what you're going to see in their adulthood? A lot of tears. You know what you're going to experience as an adult? A lot of tears. The Bible says that we're not to worry about that part of it. We're to just go ahead and do what we are supposed to do. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. By the way, that's not talking about child abuse. It's talking about a proper spanking. And it even teaches us in that verse that a proper spanking should not in any way endanger the child's health or life. But it should be administered if foolishness is there. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, we've spent some time talking about an unpopular subject on a Sunday morning. You know why? Because we can run these buses all we want to and bring these kids in. But you know what? Their view of God's going to have more to do with what they experience in the home than anywhere else. Let me ask each and every one of you, when it comes to your children, be sure and love them, number one. Teach them, number two. Discipline them, number three. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to have covering some Bible principles on the rearing of our children. Thank you for the young people that you've given us. It blesses my heart as a pastor to go out into the community and have businessmen, business owners, stop me and say, "Preacher, some of your young people were in here the other day, and my goodness sakes, we have young people here all the time. But your young people, some of the best behaved young people we've ever seen." And Lord, that's because of godly parents. Godly parents who haven't decided that they're going to fall hook, line, and sinker for a worldly, ungodly philosophy of child rearing. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Do something important this morning. Help us as a church just decide that we're going to raise our children according to the precepts of the Bible and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give us the wisdom that we need to do that. Give us the grace we need to do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name.